spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
I think that Drake is just being a misogynistic, you know, jerk.
Exposing scandals.
Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Oh, let's get married.
Digging the dirt.
Honestly, I don't know how much more rich she could get. Feels a little bit greedy.
And finding out what's happening behind the scenes.
He said in a couple of sentences about why he would never have a baby with her.
His identity is a secret, but he's broken some of the biggest scandals in Hollywood. It's Anti-Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Anti!
Hola!
Hey, old buddy, old pal.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
You guys survived the cold. You guys survived the cold, huh?
Please, we are built for this.
Are we alive, though, is the question.
I mean, on the outside.
Yeah,
but
we're dead inside.
On the outside. I saw this thing on TikTok. I think it was somebody in Calgary. It could have been somebody in Edmonton, which was even colder, right? And then, like, they did, like, they took the tea pitcher or whatever, and they did this little swirl thing, and it made, like, this, like, almost like Frozen
it's
the movie
fake
thing in the air.
Come on. It's fake. Yes. Also, I love that
you can throw water in the. You can throw water though, and it'll do ice.
You know, called a kettle a tea pitcher.
Whatever.
I did that when I was working at McDonald's in high school. So this is back in like the mid '90s when the cups were paper and wax.
Yeah.
I did that with the scalding hot water out of the coffee machine. And I don't know how I still have a hand because like from the front counter out the back door. It should have melted and disintegrated in my hand.
Do you remember when that trend first started happening? People were like getting third degree burns on their faces because they were throwing hot water in the air and it was burning their face.
For social media.
You really got to huck it. You really got to get it up there.
Yeah. I know the trend here is people put bowls of ramen noodles out and then freeze them with the fork in them. And then when you come out, the fork stands up on its own. It's very cool and trendy. Okay.
I like that. See, you know, that's just, you don't really
all
get
we
to
have.
Do those down here.
Yeah. Okay, Andy, let's dive in. We want to talk to you first about someone. First of all, I had been bugging Ed to watch Succession forever because it's such a good show. And I feel like people are only just kind of jumping on the bandwagon with the award show buzz and stuff. And we were talking about Kieran Culkin. Not a lot of people know a lot about him other than they're like, oh, that's Macaulay Culkin's brother. And even some of them don't know that at all. And they just found that out.
Every time he wins something, it's like, oh, my God, today I learned blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Is he... What is he like in real life? Is he, because like watching his acceptance speeches and stuff, he kind of gives off this air that he is the same kind of character that he plays as Roman on Succession.
I mean, basically, it's kind of like that because of the fact that it's, I guess, a powerful family in a sense that they were all, well, not all of them, three of them are actors or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's dealing with the horrible dad, which of course, you know, Kieran had to deal with their dad, Kit.
Yeah. What? Why was he so horrible? I feel like a lot of people don't know that whole story.
I mean, very stage dad-ish. You know, was it this year that Kieran thanked his mom and said, you know, that there's eight kids living in a studio apartment and there was a guy there, but he didn't really help or do anything.
Yeah. That was this year.
It was this year.
Yeah.
I think that Kieran saw what was happening to Macaulay and just how, you know, it was basically Macaulay was his breadwinner and we're going to treat him like that and just used him. And it's Home Alone. So, you know, I think that they were hoping for the same kind of thing with him that they had with Macaulay. I mean, Macaulay is 10 years old and he's hanging out with Michael Jackson because, you know, his dad wouldn't let him have any, you know, friends of his own age at all. He just wanted him to keep being, you know, famous.
Right.
And Macaulay was the highest paid, you know, child actor in the world.
Yeah.
And one of the higher paid actors in the world overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Kieran and his family, his siblings, they have a very close relationship because of what they shared. And I think it was last year's awards where he made like a joke about Macaulay or something like that. So everybody's close. And he saw what everybody had done to Macaulay and he didn't want that to happen for himself. So, I mean, it's Kieran's an actor. I think Rory's an actor. And then I guess we can call Macaulay still an actor.
I think I've seen him in a few things, but I think the one that really got my attention was when Kieran showed up in a season of Fargo.
Oh, right.
Very, very, very briefly. I think he was only in like two episodes. But it was like, holy crap, yeah, he's good.
Kieran is a very, very good actor. That's no, I mean, Succession's popular, but you still have to be a decent actor, you know, to win. And he does extremely well. And I just like that they are close to each other, you know, that all the siblings are, and they all have this united hatred towards their dad. And don't forget who their aunt is.
Right, they have a famous aunt.
Who is their aunt?
Bonnie Bedelia.
Who is that?
She's Bruce Willis's wife in Die Hard, and then yes. She was in Parenthood.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Wow.
Interesting.
But that's how they got into show business.
Is because of Auntie?
Yeah.
Auntie, was Macaulay, like, I don't know, I feel like he was everywhere as a child actor, then he disappeared, then he had some issues. Like, is it well known that he was abused at all?
I don't think so, because it's... You know, you got to go way back, right? I mean, Home Alone's a long, long time ago.
Right.
And, you know, that's a completely different generation. Everybody just, obviously people see Home Alone, but they don't know what it was like for Macaulay. They don't know, like, Richie Rich and, you know.
Oh, my God.
what's the one where he died of a bee sting or whatever?
Oh, My Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Don't laugh. It's so sad.
That was sad.
He needs his glasses.
You know, that movie traumatized me as a kid.
Same. It was supposed to be a fun kids movie. Or what was it? The Good Son?
And then,
the one where he dropped an F-bomb?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was in, and then he did Saved, I think, right? And that was like his last kind of, you know, big thing. And then he just, but you know what is good about Macaulay is that as much as, you know, his dad tried to take advantage of him, it is clearly obvious that somebody at least followed like the Jackie Coogan law and the trust, because Macaulay has been living off that money his whole life.
Right. Yeah.
You know, somebody invested it for him well, those millions of dollars that he earned over like the 4 or 5 years, because he hasn't had to work. You know, we haven't had to see him, you know, going around to Comic Cons to try and make a buck.
Right, right. Yeah. And that law means that like all of the money that minors earn, it's their money and not their parents, right?
Yeah, correct. And, you know, but parents try and take advantage of every kind of thing that they can to get the money out of there. Oh, you know, his education expenses or whatever, so we're going to need $500,000 for that and everything. So somebody kept it, you know, safe. And the other thing is people, I don't know, you know, he dated Mila Kunis for, I think, like a decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that people remember that. And he's just so quiet. I think he's on Kid Number 2 with Brenda Song or something. So he lives a very quiet life. And even like Kieran, even though he's on Succession and stuff, do you see any of them in the tabloids ever? No.
No, yeah,
that's
you're right.
They know. They know
that's
how
a good
it works.
Point.
So.
Okay.
Auntie, a trend that we're seeing over the years is, you know, Ryan Gosling. You know, he makes an acceptance speech. He gushes over Ava Mendez. I mean, same thing with Ryan Reynolds. I mean, maybe the Canadian Ryan's got something that people really want to talk about when they talk about their significant others. Like, why is this covered so much?
Well, it's covered because it's easy to cover. There's nothing, you know. It's very vanilla, so all the tabloids can jump all over it and know they're not going to offend anybody, and then they can make the publicist for the Ryans happy, and then therefore maybe they'll be invited on set, or they'll get a little interview, and they can, you know, kiss some more butt. I mean, it's interesting. Ryan Reynolds especially has interchanged stories. Like, he will attribute something to when he... Like when he was dating Scarlett Johansson or something. And he'll say, oh, da, 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 and Scarlett, whatever. And then, you know, when he started dating Ryan, started dating Blake Lively, he said the same stories. So he has been known to recirculate his stories.
Well, I remember...
Ryan Gosling, not so much.
I remember you telling us, Enty, once before, years ago, that, like, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds didn't have the most, like, legitimate relationship. Like, it was like they almost like they're putting on a show. Oh, they're everybody's favorite couple. Yeah. Like, as long as Ryan and Blake are still together. So when I see these things about Ryan Gosling and like Eva Mendes, for instance, I'm like, are they for real? Or is this the celebrity equivalent of like making a really fancy, cute post about your significant other on Instagram to make everybody think you're for real when really things are like falling apart or whatever?
I don't think they're falling apart. I don't think that, you know, Eva and Ryan don't spend every single day together, night together. Mm-hmm. I think that she, and this is also a trait with both Ryans, is that both Ryans would prefer their partners to not work, to not act. And
is that because of
that
jealousy?
Has been more problematic. You know, I think it, with Gosling, it's more of, hey, I just want you to stay home and take care of the kids and watch everything and do that. And, you know, let's be frank. I mean, Eva's career was fine, but I mean, it wasn't like she was going to go A-plus list on us at all.
Yeah.
And she had her own issues. And I think that this was kind of an escape from that. And it kind of worked out well. Blake Lively, on the other hand, I think that she really enjoys acting. And when you're a star of a movie, which Blake Lively would only take it generally if she was a lead or something, mm-hmm. you're treated really well. And, you know, people fawn all over you, and she doesn't, you know, you don't get that when you're just like in Ryan Reynolds' shadow. And there have been stories where she was up for things and that Ryan Reynolds, and even to one extent I remember from Ryan Gosling, kind of interfered so they didn't get it.
Oh, that is so disappointing to hear.
Wow.
Ew, I hate that.
Yeah, because they just, especially with Ryan Reynolds, you know, he just he's the star, and you're just, you know, you're here, you follow in my wake, and you do this and you do that. And I think that Blake was fine with that and is probably fine with that. I mean, she was,
yeah,
you know, thirsting hard after Leonardo DiCaprio and some others, and then Ryan Reynolds said, okay. I honestly, if you had asked me when they got married, if they would last, I would have said no. Just because, especially of Ryan's just churning through people. And the way that nobody has anything nice to say about him after they split, you're never going to hear Alanis Morissette say anything nice about Ryan Reynolds. You're never going to hear Scarlett Johansson say anything nice about Ryan Reynolds.
Mm. Interesting.
So,
I feel like they've done a really good job, their publicists, of just everything's positive stories about those two.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what a publicist is supposed to do. And because they're big enough stars, you know, the tabloids, well, tabloids don't go after anybody anymore anyway, but they're just not going to, you know, they're just not going to dig because they just want that access.
Yeah.
And also, let's be honest, that if it wasn't for Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, he is a person who plays one character. Mm-hmm. He got lucky with Deadpool that somebody said, oh, you know, I want that character, that this person that you play, to be in Marvel or whatever. But he has played the exact same character since he was on TV in Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
He's Van Wilder with a sword and a knife.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
A sword and a gun.
Exactly. And a six pack.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, Just Friends, Van Wilder, anything that he's in, he's just the same guy. And if you go back, and here's the other thing. If you go back and look at Waiting, if somebody has a DVD or whatever, and you go back and you look at it, and like the commentary, the entire cast is there, mm-hmm. except for Ryan Reynolds. And he wasn't even big, but he thought that he was too big to have to do the commentary. Mm. And they say some not very nice things about him in it.
Oh, really? I got to find that.
Now. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well,
it's a great movie. If anybody hasn't seen it, you should go watch it.
Staying, with the theme of like these celebrity couples, there's been all this drama on Instagram because like Zendaya unfollowed everybody, including Tom Holland. Does it mean they've broken up?
Were they together?
I mean, that's what they told us.
I thought they were together. What? Are you saying that they weren't?
I'm saying it's all really convenient. You know, mm-hmm. who talks about it, right? Tom's the only one who said, oh, no, we're still together. And, you know, supposedly, you know, they spent New Year's Eve together. Great.
Yeah.
You know, they think they were photographed in October together. I think they were, you know, in England and stuff. I'm not saying that they're not really, really good friends. So what,
are you saying that this was a promance?
Yeah. And I think it's more for the benefit of I don't know, it's for the benefit of both of them.
I wish you could see Ed's face right now. His jaw is agape.
I thought they were a really cute couple.
Same. They were my favorite.
They are. They are wonderful together as friends. You know, I just like, can you just be friends with somebody and go hang out and
they're
hang
really
out with the parents
couple
and stuff?
Of friends that hang out together.
God.
I'm so sorry, Ed. I honestly am shocked by that too. Yeah. I thought for sure that was for real.
I will say though, I always felt like, you know, in the pictures, like is he into her more than she's into him? Could that possibly be it? Because he's always like trying to touch her or look at her or... his body language seems more like he's into it.
I think that's completely accurate. And I also think that, and most of these times, especially the, you know, photos in the wild, there have been photos in the wild when they were at a grocery store, I think in England or something like that. And they're not like holding hands or anything like that at all. And these were, you know, just in the wild. Yeah. And then the planned ones where they know that somebody's there, it feels as if he is trying to get closer to her.
Yeah. I mean,
and
I will say this. I know that there was a lot of discourse about like the difference in attractiveness between the two of them because you know, Tom Holland is kind of this little waspy white dude from England, and Zendaya, I mean, she's one of the most beautiful people in the world. I know this because my husband does not make commentary on actresses very often, but whenever Zendaya is on screen, he'll be like, wow, she's really beautiful, isn't she? Excuse me? So I guess that maybe could have been a red flag to lead us to believe that maybe that wasn't for real. Because, you know, they're kind of, she's out of his league
I'm saying. You're saying that that's not okay?
I think that, I mean, she is very attractive. Mm-hmm. I just think that this is, that he would like something more and that she's like, eh.
She's a little like wishy-washy on it.
Yeah. And I think then Zendaya also is somebody who is right at that cusp of, hey, am I going to be A-plus list? Or am I going to drop down? It's just, she's right there. I think that people were really disappointed that she wasn't in Dune as much as the studio led us to believe that she was going to be in Dune.
Kidding, right?
And, but that shows the marketing, like, people will go see it because she's, you know, huge in it, and then she's in it for like a hot minute. And then is it going to be any different, you know, for the next one?
Of course.
Euphoria. She talks, you know, she's talked about not being on the next season of Euphoria. So then what is she doing? You know, where is her big, you know, next move? Because if you look at somebody like Timothy, you know, how do I goof? He also Mr. Dune, right? And then how do I go to A-plus list? Throw me into Wonka, right?
Yeah.
And let me just explode with that and be the lead in a, you know, God, 2.5 hour movie where, you know, you're in almost every single scene.
Right.
But Zendaya hasn't really done anything like that.
All right.
So it keeps you in, you know, the thing that she cleared the Instagram for. Okay. Is anybody really all that excited about whatever that project is?
Okay, fair point.
Yeah. Enty,
so how do you keep yourself, you know, you got this, the Tom Holland buzz.
Enty, I sent my wonderful coworkers a screenshot of the Coachella lineup, and it seemed to kind of like fall on deaf ears, but I also haven't seen anyone sharing it on like Facebook. Like, you almost thought that maybe that was just a parody lineup.
I thought you were sending me like a fake one.
Right. So like it seems like maybe Coachella's maybe lost its luster, because even bringing back No Doubt for like a festival, you'd think that enough people would be excited about it, you would hear it from other places.
I thought that last year's was pretty bad. I think obviously, this is way worse.
I literally can't even remember who played last year. That's how bad it was.
Frank Ocean, but he didn't technically play.
Oh, that's right.
But then he got replaced, which made it better. And then they had Blink-182 do the reunion thing. So obviously, this is going to be some kind of, you know, thing. you know, last year I was blind to everything because Bjork was there. So I was just like, okay, it's a great lineup. Oh, it's all good.
Hell yeah. That's what's up.
Oh, empty.
But here's who's probably upset. It's, and this is something that I've been talking with people about. Sabrina Carpenter is on the second line. Well, third, if you count like, under Lana, but it's just like, how many days do I have to open for Taylor Swift before I can at least get up on the first line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she is somebody who is trying so hard to make a career that's not going to happen. And
which is kind of crazy.
I'm just not excited. I mean, I know people.
She's quite talented. Like when I see TikTok videos and stuff of her singing, like she's talented.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. There's too many people who love Olivia Rodrigo more, so then they're going to naturally hate Sabrina Carpenter.
Mm.
And then for her to just be like a fixture on Taylor's thing,
right.
Obviously an enemy of Olivia Rodrigo. So they can't do anything about Taylor, obviously, but they can make Sabrina Carpenter's life miserable. I think, obviously, fans of Lana Del Rey are super happy. Okay. I think, you know, when you got Suki Waterhouse as, you know, on that same lineup, it just, okay. Blur, I kind of excited about that. Tyler, the Creator, fine.
What about Doja Cat?
Tyler puts it into a show. Like, whether you like him or not, he has a great time on stage.
And then Doja Cat has told us, like, I'm retiring. I'm not performing anymore. And she just continues to do this. Like, don't tell me you love me. It's weird. I don't know you. I'm not going to perform anymore. And then she's like, oh, just kidding. I'm headlining Coachella. Like, what?
I would have put J Balvin as the headliner over her.
Really?
Yeah, I just think that he can. I just also, I know that they try and keep the lineups the same, but like Bebe Rexha, I probably would have put her with Lana Del Rey. Taking Back Sunday, I really like. I mean, there's some people that I like, but you know, you want to get excited. And, you know, Coachella, the Lady Gaga, Beyonce.
Yeah, Harry Styles.
Kanye, starting at 1:30 in the morning or whatever. That's just, you know, that's what you want. It's like, it needs to blow you away because people are spending thousands upon thousands of dollars
right.
to go be miserable in the desert in the middle of April.
Yeah, totally.
And so, you know, and, you know, think about like Bonnaroo, you know, so that kind of competes and stuff. But, you know, 10 years ago, it would have been, you know, Taylor Swift, Usher, and I don't know, give me, you know, like
Rihanna.
I mean, some,
Beyonce,
some huge,
somebody
yeah,
huge.
Rihanna. I mean, it would have been just like boom.
The
now,
biggest
also,
of the
big. Remember, it used to be it was just one weekend.
Right.
And so that makes it harder because it's two weekends, so they have to commit to 2 weeks. I mean, last year at least you had like Blackpink, right? I mean, okay, I can get excited. Frank Ocean, you know, obviously it bombed, but all right. Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator, and Doja Cat.
Yeah.
I think they need to go back to one weekend, but the problem is that, you know, they want the money.
Right.
But maybe they will go back to one weekend because they have been doing other things, like the power trip, when they brought in, like, see, like, so it's the same people, and they bring in, like, Guns N' Roses and Iron Maiden and just everybody in the, like the A-plus tier of that kind of music. And so maybe they can go back to one weekend where the people don't have to be, you know, committed to two, and maybe right. it'll be a lot easier.
Let me ask you just quickly about the social media aspect of Coachella, because I feel like people only go there now so that they can say that they went, right? Like, oh, so they can post TikTok lives and be on Instagram and whatever. So it's like, does it really, I guess, matter who's on stage? People are going to go anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, and here's one of the crazy tricks, is if you see, like, this influencer who says, oh, yeah, I'm going to Coachella or whatever, look where they're filming from on Friday
okay.
and Saturday, and then on Sunday they will have stolen a bracelet to get into the VIP section, or somebody will have left
really?
And passed them their VIP thing. That's always my favorite thing. If Friday and Saturday they're just like with the crowd and all that, or get ready with me, like, check my fit, you know, outfit
yeah.
out, and then on And then on Sunday, it's all of a sudden, yeah, VIP, and they're just taking all these things from VIP. Well, how come you weren't doing that on Friday and Saturday?
Okay.
I saw that No Doubt was reuniting, I was like, who cares? I feel like such a boomer.
I didn't know they were. I thought they just got back together from time to time and did shows, so I didn't even realize they were apart.
And Gwen Stefani is also live. So, I mean, if you want to get excited about No Doubt getting back together, sure. You know, look at the rest of the band. Fantastic. But, you know, Gwen Stefani, you know, was lip syncing before lip syncing was cool.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, man.
You know, one thing that really bugs me, too, when I see these lineups is that, like, I try and pick out, like, maybe a day in theory that I would want to go. Or maybe a period that I want to be there. But like when you see the lineups, it's like, I don't want to have to sit through this show and lose like my where I am.
Yeah.
And sit through these three other shows just to make sure I've got a good spot for this last show.
It feels like to me Coachella is one of those things that survives on FOMO. Like people are
and
you're in the desert. It's hot. It looks cool. I want to go. And then you get there and you're like, yeah. I spent a lot of money to literally sleep on the desert floor.
Because if you're not camping, or I mean, the parking is atrocious. You know, the shuttle buses, everything. I mean, it's just like, it is so much effort. And then some people think, oh, you know, and they want to stay in Palm Springs because, and they go, okay, great. And they don't realize like Palm Springs to Coachella is like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're like, oh, well, I didn't know. And the traffic's insane. Oh, there was this Uber driver who once told me that he got paid like $1,000 or something because they had like the surge pricing.
Oh, yeah.
He had to take somebody to San Diego. And here's the thing. Uber drivers as a whole, they love Coachella more than Stagecoach.
Right.
Because the Coachella people are just stoned and wasted out of their mind and just want to go to sleep. While the Stagecoach people are like throwing up in the back of the car and are rowdy and angry because they've been drinking instead of smoking.
Yeah. Oh
my and God. It's in the it's Palm Springs, right? The Palm Springs Desert. Like is that
Indio.
Where it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Where the time loop is.
They have some good outlets out in
Indio. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway. Okay, so let's talk about Kate Middleton. So obviously everywhere this week we're seeing she had this abdominal surgery. And it's funny because, like, you know, the People article that I'm reading is like, it's, you know, she's so fit. She plays tennis. She lives such a healthy lifestyle. It's like, okay, great. But then you hear other people, other sources that are like, oh, she's got a real bad drinking problem. And this has something to do with that. So, like, what happened?
Well, the only thing that I think that you should look at is everybody says it's planned. Oh, and by the way, going back to Coachella for a second, Jon Batiste, if you can see him, you'd do that.
Okay.
So that's the day I would go. Him and Blur and Tyler, the Creator. Anyway.
Yeah.
So everybody says, oh, it was planned, right? It's long planned surgery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then why on earth did she have to apologize to all the things that she had to cancel?
Mm.
Right. If it were planned, she wouldn't have made those commitments.
Correct.
Hmm.
So that, you know, when you look at it like that, okay, this is some kind of emergency thing. And then obviously it's serious. You know, you could have a heart attack and they're going to let you out there the same day or the next day. You could have heart surgery and you're going to be out there in 4 or 5 days.
Right.
She's in there 2 weeks.
That's an intern.
That's a long time.
Is it just because she's a member of the royal family and they just see this? This to me screamed rehab or something. And I hate saying it out loud because I don't want to speculate. But
sure.
But it's got that vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, you know, she's been in the hospital for weeks before, you know, and
see, I don't
so
remember
she was
that
pregnant.
Well, she, yeah, had
she
a
was
really
pregnant.
Bad
like she had morning sickness, and she didn't do anything for months.
Right.
Right. And you're just kind of out of the light, out of the spotlight. So, you know, I can tell you that if you want to, you know, the drinking problems or something like that, I guarantee you that kind of originated from like Meghan Markle or something like that. Because who else is going to be able to tell you? And I always tell people, like, with royal gossip, you only got royal gossip if they're actually interacting with somebody, like when Harry's in Calgary or something like that. That was the only time you were ever going to get anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then otherwise it's locked down. And there's people, you know, royal commentators who speculate and stuff like that, who are insiders, but it's basically those insiders are just like People Magazine kind of things. It wasn't until, you know, Meghan Markle and then her, you know, just blabbing everywhere and telling everybody, and because she's got friends and they would just say stuff. So that's how you get it. So if somebody's saying, oh, Kate has a huge drinking problem, when have you ever seen that she had a drinking problem?
I mean, that's just what, ever. Like, people, like British tabloids or things on, you know, social media, you'll hear people say.
I think that she enjoys a party.
And who doesn't?
I don't see the whole drinking problem thing. Okay. And also, let's say it was like liver issues or something like that. I think that we would have seen it over the years, other than her, like, you know, month-long disappearance when she was pregnant, because she does, when you're out and about every single day practically, and you're in the cameras and all of that, it seems like that would be something that would be hard to hide. Or, oh, she doesn't look well today. Or did she tie one on? And look at that, Hank. You know what I'm saying? It's just like every day she's out there just doing it and doing it and doing it. So I think it was an emergency surgery. I don't think it was planned at all. It's obviously very serious, which is why she's going to be in there a couple of weeks.
Right.
But other than that, I don't think anybody knows.
Okay.
Wow.
That is interesting. I never thought about the Meghan Markle side of the story and how, you know, anything negative you're reading is probably from
planted
that side of the family.
Yeah.
Auntie, what you are known for, your world famous blinds, what do you got for us today?
So do you guys want the answer from last week?
Yes. Okay. Can you retell it for those that forgot, myself?
Yeah, I'll summarize because I don't have it. But it's basically, it was this couple that all these people were complaining about at a hotel in Rome because they were having sex so loud. And then I gave the clues. But it's Jessica Simpson and John Mayer.
Gross.
Oh.
Nice.
Right. Sexual napalm.
Yeah. Into okay. it.
A classic.
Sexual napalm, baby.
Hell yeah.
So this week we'll just do a regular blind.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and make it as easy as possible. Okay. You have a permanent A-list illiterate singer. They are going back on tour this summer. They are sleeping with their opening act.
No, Auntie, because I think I know who it is.
A significant other.
Wait. Illiterate.
Illiterate.
Wait, I'm trying to think.
Do you want me to
put permanently A-list?
Here, I'm going to put in the chat who I think
it
is.
Chat.
Oh, no. I'm scared. Oh,
what?
No. Really?
Oh, my God.
Is he going to be the Super Bowl halftime show? Hello?
So there it is.
And it's a big old no comment.
You can figure it out.
All right.
My God.
No, I have no comment because I never gave any kind of gender about any of the people.
You didn't, but I... Okay.
NT, until next week, thank you. And we will talk to you then.
You guys have a great week.
All right. Love you, NT. Bye.
Bye.